This is Computer Corner, here every Wednesday night from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. I'm your host, Gene Mitchell. I have in the studio with me my sidekick, Joe Huebler, and a special guest who I'll introduce shortly. We're going to take calls after we get going, so write this number down, 610-701-4294. That's the call-in number when we call in for questions, 610-701-4294. We have a website, WCOJ.com. Click on Programming, and Computer Corner is listed, and that is our website. And we have all kinds of good information, including our show schedule up there. We have an email address that you can email your questions and comments to, computercorner@wcoj.com. Computercorner@wcoj.com. We will be checking our email in about a half an hour for any questions and comments. And don't forget, you'll be able to call in too. We're going to start off with a little bit of news. We have three items that are kind of interesting, all related to AOL. According to our sources, they have recently lost over 2 million customers. And because of that, they're going to have a serious cutback in their help staff over the next month.
You mean they're going to get rid of one of the two guys they already had?
If you've ever tried to call AOL, you might find out. Well, anyway, the second item is a plus for AOL. They've decided that instead of charging for the McAfee antivirus that they have been charging their customers for, they are going to start giving it to them free. The sources did not say when they're going to start, but it said they're going to start giving them free antivirus software. The third item that we have is a very interesting one because it has something to do with one of the topics that we have talked about over the past weeks. A brother and sister team who have spanned millions of AOL customers were convicted Wednesday in the nation's first felony prosecution of distribution of spam. And that's according to the Associated Press. That's all very interesting because it means the government means business. Tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about the Internet and all the different ways you can connect to it. And actually, before the Internet, we had something sort of like the Internet, but it was on a very small basis. For the hobbyist and home user, there were bulletin board systems. And they were all over. Almost every community had one, and it was a means of sending and receiving email, getting information, and file sharing. They were used by companies to supply tech support and supply device drivers for computer users. And BBS systems, by the way, were called BBSs. If you were to take all the original BBSs and hook them up as a web, it could have been the first Internet. And actually, that's probably where some of the first ideas came about. I personally started a bulletin board system in about 1981, as near as I can recall, and I called it the Fifth Dimension. And it was for the main purpose of sharing ham radio information, because that was one of my hobbies, and I just wanted to put some information out. I was part of a club and thought we'd circulate information that way. And I started it with an Atari computer and later went to an IBM clone when they became available at a reasonable price. Actually, my son comes into the picture because I started teaching him about computer hardware and told him that if he learned about the hardware inside and out as well as programming, he would never be without a job. And his record has been so excellent so far that it's proved to be the case. He's outlived several of the companies that he's worked for. My son Michael took over running my BBS somewhere about 1993 and upgraded it to a faster and special U.S. robotics modem. And he also subscribed to a service that he could transfer the email back and forth to the Internet. And at that particular time, I was too busy with my head in computers, and I didn't even know how to spell Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So he was there, and he had told me what he was doing, and I said, oh, yeah, oh, the Internet, okay. Mm-hmm. And here he was into it and had the bulletin board connected to it. Well, anyway, about shortly about 1995, I guess, after he educated me in the Internet, I wanted to put my own web page up when he showed me what it was all about. So I put a web page up for my store and had a very simple one at first. And then Michael, diving into the things the way he does, created a very nice looking web page for me and also proceeded to teach me the HTML code that was needed to do that. Well, anyway, the Internet's taking over everything. I think we all know that. It's at home. It's at work. Some people are breathing it and sleeping on it.
In their phone.
And funny enough, actually not so funny, my first Internet provider started getting very unreliable. My page would disappear, then it would come back. I couldn't dial in. Then all of a sudden I couldn't. Tried to contact him, couldn't. And my son was, again, one step ahead of me, and he introduced me to a new Internet provider. And that is our guest tonight, Rich Goldberg. And Rich runs an Internet service called VNet right here in Chester County. And I've been with Rich since he started up in 1996, and I found it to be an extremely reliable service. And I had occasion to call him and make adjustments, and then all of a sudden people were asking me at the store who's a good Internet provider. And the only Internet provider that I knew that was reliable was Rich, and I've come to find out with all the Internet services that other people had, Rich still stood out above everybody else. Well, anyway, Rich and I have become pretty good friends, and he agreed to join me tonight and tell you about some of the things that he's run into and some of the special services he has. Good evening, Rich. I'm glad you're on board.
Oh, good evening, Gene. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Rich, I found you right after the after you started VNet. Wow, what a find.
Oh, it's been useful, Gene. You've been a good friend to VNet, and we've referred customers to your store over the years, and they've been thrilled with your services.
Well, that's the way the world works, everybody working together in harmony. And could you explain for our listeners in a few simple words just what makes up the Internet?
Well, the Internet's really grown over the years in that definition, but just a few words, I guess. It's a collection of companies, organizations, and individuals that are using basically the phone system to communicate, deal in commerce, share information.
So it's a whole bunch of computers everywhere that's all tied together.
Exactly.
It's like these servers are hanging off the Internet, but what makes up the Internet? What, you know, we have a computer here, there, and everywhere. What ties them together?
Well, there's quite a few what we call backbones, global Internet service providers, mostly made up of the Bell Atlantic companies. Own a major portion, as well as companies like UniNet, which is now part of NCI, Sprint, and a couple others, and most of what we call the backbone. And then each of the individual companies that serve the web pages purchase a connection into that backbone.
So that means that you, as a server, have to pay a fee to use the Internet, and that's what supports the cost of the Internet, each server.
So that's correct. We pay a substantial amount of money for what we call our upstream connection. Over the years, as DSL and cable have come into people's homes, they really don't realize they're paying $20, $30, $40 a month for what they call broadband connection. Well, that same connection as a commercial grade connection is 10 to 20 times more per month, maybe even greater.
Is there any real difference between the two as far as quality or?
Oh, absolutely. There's the service level agreements that come with the type of connections that we have that you get a level of service that's much greater than the cable DSL. There's no such thing as being down for 2 hours and accepting it, or even for a few minutes.
Right.
If my customers are accessing the Internet or hosting a website, if they go to look at the website and it's not there for even a moment, we'll hear from them, and quite honestly, we haven't had a lot of those phone calls over the years because we've always gone with what we call Tier 1 Internet Service Providers as our upstream connection, and that's really differentiated VNet from many of the other local Internet Service Providers around the country.
Since you're a business, that means that since you have to pay all these high rates, you also have to charge So that's how you make money. You're a business. You make money. You have to charge the customers for the dial-up access in every other way that you can.
Correct. And there's a certain amount of scale involved. You need to have, you know, X number of customers. And even in order to support quality customer support people, you can't just have a couple hundred dial-up accounts. And that's what a lot of the early on, a lot of smaller providers learned, that having a couple hundred dial-ups that they thought would be incremental income, all of a sudden it costs more to have a quality support person than that's what they were making. So a lot of those companies either closed down or sold off the dial-ups to others.
You had some serious growing pains in the beginning because the bill companies and so forth were charging different rates, and they would change the access and the numbers and all kinds of things.
Right. Originally, when I first started BNet in 1996, in early 96, what was Bell Pennsylvania at the time was calling all over me to sell me certain services that I could use to route calls to my modems cost effectively, no matter where they were calling from the Delaware Valley. Well, several years later, when they started their own internet service company, they filed with the Public Utility Commission to substantially increase the tariffs on those services, where it became basically unusable. But fortunately, with the Telecommunications Act of 1996, competitors of theirs came out with fiber optic networks that spanned across the Delaware Valley and interconnected with the phone systems, and they were able to offer us services that, although were substantially more expensive than we used to pay, they were substantially less expensive than what Verizon wanted to charge us. So those of us who have the wherewithal to invest in a different type of equipment to be able to connect to those services were able to stay alive, and put quite a few ISPs closed around that time.
And you lasted all these years because you provided good service, excellent technical support, and you made the right choices.
Well, we have some great technical support people that have worked with me, and referral sources such as yourself who have supported us and spread the word, and we're still here.
Rich Goldberg from BNet is with us in the studio tonight, and we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the faster dial-up services and go into some of the broadband services so that we have full coverage here. But I wanted to remind you that we have a website, www.wcoj.com. We have an email address where you can shoot your questions to us at computercorner@wcoj.com. We have a telephone call-in number, which we will be taking calls shortly. Remember to jot this down so that you have it, 610-701-4294. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Computer Corner here on 1420 WCOJ, heard every Wednesday night from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. I'm your host, Gene Mitchell. I have in the studio my sidekick, Joe Huber, and special guest, Rich Goldberg from BNet. And I'd like to remind you, we have a website, www.wcoj.com. Click on Programming, and under Programming, you'll find Computer Corner, where we have our schedule. We have an email address, computercorner@wcoj.com. And we are checking for emails. We will be checking again during the show. And we will take some questions. If you want to call in, any questions on dial-up service, and while we're waiting for the questions to come in, we'll continue on. And when we see the lights flash, we'll join the phone lines. Rich, we've been talking about your dial-up service, and of course, you're in strict competition with the Comcast and the DSLs and the satellites and all that kind of stuff. I know you've done something that will help the average dial-up user to have faster service. Do you want to tell us what that is?
Sure. About a year ago, we implemented a service called SuperBee. So we don't charge any additional for it, but it is a service that we pay for. We did implement SuperBee, which is a dial-up accelerator, really to compete with Comcast or Verizon. It's really to enhance the internet experience for those who have chosen to stay with dial-up services, because it is definitely not a replacement for the higher broadband. What it does speed up a substantial number of the websites that you visit, the HTML-based websites. It will not increase the download of music or video-type services. But for the people that have chosen to stay with dial-up, So those aren't the types of websites that they're going to. They're generally interested in news sites, which are text-based or don't care to use those other services. So Super B, we like to say it's up to 5 times faster. In reality, some pages might be 10 times faster. Some pages might not increase the speed at all.
I'm seeing two types of people come in. I'm seeing people that have broadband already on their computer, and I'm seeing people that have dial-up, and they're pulling their hair out saying, isn't there a better dial-up service? And, of course, I do have that answer for them. A lot of those people have AOL, some of them have Earthlink, and there's a lot of different services out there. And I happen to know that you have excellent dial-up service, not only the dial-up itself, but your email. You have screening on that email where the junk can be filtered and the viruses are stopped. What is that service called?
We use a service called Postini, P-O-S-T-I-N-I. Postini has become the number one most respected outsourced virus and spam filtering solution out there. It's used by some of the largest corporations and ISPs now. I was lucky enough to get involved with them several years ago now, where I got into some very aggressive pricing, and in fact I'm at my renewal right now, and although they've increased my pricing, it's still very good. I don't believe that many other ISPs, being at size or even multiples of our size, could afford to get into that service right now with the current structure. There are other services out there, of course, but we're fortunate again to have a system where the viruses and the spam are filtered prior to them entering the user's mailboxes. So when you go to check your email, it's about 99% clean. And then you have the ability to go out to your quarantine and see whether any false positives. Is there anything there that I should have gotten that was filtered out for one reason or another? And if it's someone that you never want to be filtered, if that email is coming from someone you never want to be filtered, you can add those people to your whitelist, or you have a block list as well.
I found that when you turned Postini on, it cut my junk mail by about 100 to 150 messages a day during different days. And for that, I was real thankful, because that meant I had to read somewhere between 150 and 175 messages to find out what I wanted and what I didn't want. But I also know that you had a separate filtering system where we could see the infected messages, and there were days when they were just thrown at us by the barrels.
With this broadband, you know, it's like one guy gets a virus, and I know it's one of my broadband friends, because I'll get 30 a day. Back in the old days, you got 2 a week because they're on the modem.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because when we started with Postini, I would go to my management reports, and we might see a couple hundred viruses that the system caught in a day throughout our whole system. Now a typical day is 5,000 or more. Yeah. And I recently tweaked my user's experience, you might say. Normally, when they first set up the system, you would see the captured virus messages in your inbox. Well, in those days, when you got a virus-infected email, it was because somebody you knew had an infected computer and they sent you a Word document or some other document that was counting as virus to you. Now they're coming from anonymous systems. And we found that of these 5,000-plus virus-infected messages a day, every single one was had to be looked at by one of my customers when they went to their quarantine, that none of them were good. So I tweaked the system in a unique way that made it so that the virus-infected messages no longer go to my users' quarantines, but they're redirected to a Bitbucket, never to be seen again.
We're talking to Rich Goldberg from BNet, a internet service for dial-up, and he's our guest tonight here on 1420 WCOJ. This is Computer Corner. And, Rich, there are other alternative services, and I guess you looked at trying to provide DSL or reselling, but I guess it just wasn't possible the way the phone company is structured, because they're in the picture no matter what.
Well, I waited until I felt the quality of service was there, and that Verizon was at the point where they were cooperating with the DSL providers. So I signed up, sent out an announcement to my customers. We had about 200 interested businesses. I was all excited, had the money spent already. And within a few weeks, North Point, which was one of the major providers at the time, declared bankruptcy, and that was one of our suppliers. The second was Covad. They went bankrupt shortly thereafter, stopped providing lines. So it was over before it even started for us.
You were also working on another broadband type of connection, and you're still trying to work it out with wireless, which is another means.
So that happened from a major business plan to a hobby to a on the to-do list right now. What happened was I spent a considerable amount of time investigating and working on contracts to roll out wireless internet access, going up on a tower in Chester County and broadcasting out about 15 miles in all directions. Unfortunately, the tower that we spent a lot of time on and had all the contracts wrapped around did not pass the structural analysis, and that put us back to square one. And in the meantime, some other technologies have been coming out, some of which we're going to talk about today, which made me question whether or not it's a good idea to jump on with the technology that we were going to go on with. So again, we're not only back to square one with the contracts, but with what technology we're going to use as well. But I still hope to roll something out by next summer.
That would be great. We're talking to Rich Goldberg from BNet. This is 1420 WCOJ on Computer Corner. We're going to take a short break, and we're waiting for your phone calls. We have open phone lines if you want to call in for any questions on dial-up or anything that the team here can help you with. Call in, and we'll get your calls right after this break. This is Computer Corner here on 1420 WCOJ. I'm your host, Gene Mitchell. We're talking about the Internet tonight with special guest Rich Goldberg. And we're looking for any calls. If you have any questions on the Internet, how it works, how to get into it, how to get your connection faster, we'll take your calls. And while we're waiting for those calls, and I'm watching the light here, we'll continue to talk. Verizon is wiring many locations throughout the country, including this area, with fiber optic cable for the next generation of DSL, and they're calling it Fios, F-I-O-S. And where DSL had a distance factor from the central office, the fiber optic will not be an issue. That means wherever they run the cable, that's wherever you can get their broadband service. Of course, they're eventually going to be providing your normal telephone service over that fiber optic cable, and they're also going to go into the television business. And I think it's going to be interesting that the phone company is going to be providing us television. What do you think, Rich?
It's cheaper, I'll take it.
Well, anyway, competition is good.
Can I use my telephone, my TV, to make a telephone call then?
Well, that does open up the possibilities of video phone calls. Of course, we're already doing that over the Internet anyway. It'd just be a different variation, I guess. There's also another interesting means of getting on the Internet, and that is by satellite. You can point a dish at the southern sky, and you can transmit and receive the Internet if you're in one of the areas where you can't get DSL and you can't get Comcast cable. As a matter of fact, I've had one of those satellite dishes on top of the store for several years now, maybe even 3 or 4 years. I've kind of lost track of the time.
It's like a bird bath.
It's an upside-down bird bath. You can get satellite service from the sky. It is a little bit more expensive, but for somebody that wants a broadband connection, connection is actually about the speed of the present-day DSL. However, there is one little factor that comes in that you have to get used to, and that is there's a certain amount of what they call latency. And that means when you click on a link for, say, a website, you might be waiting about 3, 4 to 5 seconds, and you're wondering whether something's going to happen after you've clicked. In reality, that little bit of latency isn't too much to worry about, because once the information starts coming at you, it does come at you at high speed, and once you get over that idea of where is it, and all of a sudden it's thrown at you, you've got it.
If you stick a hole, I can hit it like 9 times. I get a lot of stuff, right?
I've had the service there, and I've had it with the Comcast cable side by side, and I've gotten used to the latency. We just in the last 2 weeks lost our free account to the satellite because we weren't selling enough satellite. That means there's enough Comcast and DSL going out there. We have to sell a certain amount of the satellite service in order to maintain the demo account, and they shut that off on us about 2 weeks ago, but that's no loss because we still have other services. Well, anyway, there's other ways to connect to the internet besides DSL, Comcast, and the satellite, and there is wireless, which Rich mentioned that he's investigating. In some areas, there's little pools of wireless where you can get involved in. We also reported a couple of weeks ago that Verizon is starting up EVDO, which will work over the cell site, and that will give you approximately the speed of a DSL connection wireless anywhere that the Verizon has a cell tower. The only big problem with that is it's $80 a month, and the average person isn't going to pay $80 a month when there's different alternatives. Now, that's going to be your business customer that has the need for on-the-road service. There's also another means that has been developed, and it's actually a sore subject with some people, but there's something called BPL, or broadband over power lines, and we actually had a email question from one of our listeners about that, and I'm actually hoping it never comes into the area, because BPL has its pluses and minuses. The plus is it gives the power company the means to compete with the cable and the telephone company because they're going to send signals over the power line. The minus is the sending of the signals over the power line means they're going to actually connect a radio transmitter to the power line and use it as an antenna, totally unshielded, and it can interfere with broadcast radio, it can interfere with shortwave radio, and I do have to admit that I have this biased opinion because I am a ham radio operator, and it's going to clobber our ham radio bands, and it has in the areas where they've tested it, so I'm very much against it for that reason, but it also means that if broadband is coming down your street, you have the potential for getting interference. But there's one thing that everybody forgets to talk about, and that is the fact that the ham radio set can interfere with the BPL signal. If you were to be a subscriber to BPL and I was going to transmit going down the street, you would probably have moments or minutes of blackout where you're wondering where your BPL signal is.
Well, I don't want to be your neighbor if I get this BPL system, is what you're telling me, right?
Well, it can happen with a neighbor, and it can probably happen within blocks of your house, because we're talking about BPL, that they have this power limitation where they can only put a certain amount of radio signal before it exceeds the FCC specifications, where we're allowed to transmit up to 1,000 watts as a ham radio operator,
right.
And that's like more than 1,000 times what they do, which means we have the potential to interfere with BPL maybe a half a mile more away.
Yeah, I'm really hoping it never comes into fruition.
I'm also hoping that since I listen to AM radio all day, and I get my local news from 1420, the number one station here in Chester County, the voice of Chester County. I'm just hoping it doesn't happen because I don't want it to interfere with noise on that signal.
What about that James Law where all the radio operators now have to register with their local communities?
So
the BPL users will only know where they are.
Well, that could be an unfortunate side effect here, that something like that could happen.
Do you have a ham radio? That'd be on everybody's list.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, for that reason, BPL is a development that is being pushed out there, but I'm not sure where the push is coming from, whether it's the power line companies or what started it, but it's certainly not something that I would even consider, even if I was desperate, knowing what I know about it.
There's enough other alternatives out there.
Well, we have Comcast, and we have DSL and fiber that are competing already. And
satellite.
No, and the satellite. And that means they're going to have to come in at a price low enough to entice you, but they're coming in with their problems.
Yeah, every time I use the internet on the BPL, my garage door will open itself, correct?
It might. Well, anyway, if you understand how BPL works, and that was the other part of the question that we had on the email, how does it work? Basically, somewhere along the line, they're going to get a backbone feed, and they're going to have a transceiver that's going to transmit and receive from the power line. They're going to insert this radio signal and receive a radio signal back, and every so much, whether it's a quarter mile, half mile, they're going to have a repeater transceiver that's going to have to repeat that information. But meanwhile, you have this radio antenna that's going to be sending the signal that can be picked up by radios. And there's a lot of equipment. They may have this existing infrastructure of wires, but they're going to have to put the equipment on to put it on and off to repeat it. And then when they get to the customer location, peel it back off the phone, off the power line, and do it in a safe way, and then take your signal and put it back onto the power line so it goes back to the internet.
Hey, Gene, have you thought about the questions you're going to get on phone calls? Like, I can see a man calling you up and saying, I have a problem with my browser. Every time I run my toaster, my email doesn't work. Could you imagine the kind of questions you're going to get?
There could be some very interesting questions that come up over it.
That's when I get out of the business.
Well, anyway, we need to take another break to get in the evening news here. So when we come back, we are looking for any phone calls.
What's that number again, Gene?
610-701-4294. We're looking for your calls for any questions or comments. You need not give your name if you don't want to. We'd like to just hear what you might have to say about the topic or the show or anything we can help you with. Let's get the news, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Computer Corner here on 1420 WCOJ. I'm your host, Gene Mitchell, my sidekick, Joe Hubler, and we have special guest Rich Goldberg from BNet in the studio. And we come to you every Wednesday night from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We're looking for your phone calls at 610-701-4294. And we'll take your calls, questions, comments, anything that you might want to talk about tonight, computer-related. And my production assistant came in and wildly told me that the news is 2 days old on here, so we didn't get the up-to-date news on the log, so that's why we killed it early. I think we knew all that was taking place 2 days ago relating to the election. So anyhow, we came right back to the show, and we're talking about the Internet, looking for your phone calls, and I'll continue on while we're waiting for your calls. There's something else that may come about. There's a new concept and system that an organization that I belong to has proposed, and it's completely different and a totally separate radio internet that's going to be used over ham radio frequencies, and it might start right here in Chester County if we can get it off the ground. The idea uses a high-speed radio connected to computers that are connected to a web server, if you will, and it'll also have an email server and different radio from your car or your home will be able to check into it, and we hope this is going to spread out between many units throughout the county and then from the county to the next county, and we're hoping that it's going to be a totally separate radio internet. Ham radio operators have been known for their public service and handling emergency messages, and we're hoping that that might become a data network. As a matter of fact, we're calling it Amateur Radio Data Network. And if it gets off the ground, it might be a very good supplement where we can send high-speed data, pictures, maps, and that right from our cars to a radio internet connection.
What would the speed be about?
The speed would be the speed of ISDN, which is 128K, and that's pretty fast.
The
radios have been developed, and they're being released. There's some prototypes out there now, and I've actually seen a demonstration of the system, and several other of our club members have also seen the units demonstrated, and they do exist. We understand there's some software within the radio that needs to be upgraded before it comes out in its final form, but we've applied for some grants. We don't know where the grant could come from, but we're looking for any source possible to fund this type of thing. But that would be an interesting thing for ham radio operators and even people to get involved in ham radio that might get up on this. I'm also part of another group called CCAR, which is Chester County Aries Races. It's an emergency group right here in Chester County. And aside from the voice communications and drills that we have, we're doing some work with low-speed data, and we see the need for high-speed. And once the equipment becomes available, we may use it. This is Computer Corner here on 1420 WCOJ. I'm your host, Gene Mitchell. I have Rich Goldberg in here that is a provider of dial-up internet services, among other things. And we've been talking tonight about all the different ways that you can connect to the internet, whether it be a dial-up, a super dial-up, Comcast cable, DSL, wireless. We're looking for your calls to join in and possibly give us a question or a comment on the show. And I also want to mention that WCOJ has some other good shows. The morning starts out with the morning show. Doug Sterling starts out at 5:30 in the morning. And all the latest local news, CBS News, traffic, all kinds of interesting information. And I listen to it every morning. I wake up to the morning show. And he plugs my show, and I wanted to give him a similar plug to the show. And I did have one comment 2 weeks ago about could we list computers over this show? And the answer to that is that's not the focus of this program. But we do have something for you to try. Ron has a swap shop every morning, every weekday morning from 10 till noon, and he swaps computers and other household items. And if you want to list a computer for sale, or you want to swap computers, if you want a computer, a used computer, that would be the place to call in, Ron's swap shop. And that's actually an extremely popular show here on 1420 WCAJ. This is Computer Corner here on 1420. I'm your host, Gene Mitchell. We have Joe Hubler, my sidekick, here in the studio. We have Rich Goldberg. And Rich, your dial-up customers, you do lose them to the high speed every once in a while, but I know you're also getting new ones all the time through many sources. And there's still people out there that want the dial-up service. I've seen it. You've seen it. And I don't think dial-up's ever going to go away.
Well, I suppose not, because it represents a nice part of my revenue stream. But admittedly, the revenue mix in 1996 was substantially different than it is today. We are not dependent on the dial-up revenues entirely. They certainly help contribute to the fact that we have some great tech support people that I wouldn't be able to afford without all the services that I provide combined. But about 50% of the people that access the internet are still accessing it through dial-up services. They project, this article that I read today, through 2008, that's only expected to reduce by about 10%, which I was happy to hear. Of course, we'll be offering some broadband services as well, but dial-up has its place. For instance, my parents' generation, when we go to my parents or my in-laws, neither of them will ever subscribe to broadband services. They just don't need it. Simple email is enough for my parents, and my in-laws don't find any need for the internet. We have business customers, some very large customers, who have multiple dozens. One in particular has about 150 users who access us through their portable devices. When they go out to customer locations, they sync their data with the main computer. All they need is a dial-up, and they'll always need that over-the-phone line service in order to do. They have no need to pay $80 to the phone company for a high-speed service when all they're doing is transferring a small amount of data.
Yeah, I wish there was actually a little knob in my email, because I've noticed that a lot of my friends and customers have
go onto a broadband connection. Problem is, now I'm getting 4 and 5 megabyte emails through my phone connection, and it really clogs me up. So I wish we'd go switch there. I could divert them over to another pool to download, like, when I'm sleeping.
Paul will talk about BNet's services that could provide you with that ability.
Ooh, cool.
After the show.
Okay. Well, we just reported tonight that AOL lost, what was it, 2 million customers?
About 2 million customers over the last year. That's correct.
Hopefully you got a few of those, but I guess a lot of that went to broadband.
Well, interestingly enough, they've been losing a lot of their customers two places, the lower-end, low-cost style of services and to the broadband providers.
We have an email that just came in to our email address, computercorner@wcoj, and we've been talking about the various access means to get into the Internet, whether it be dial-up, Comcast, DSL, and satellite and wireless. And one of our listeners just emailed me that said they just heard that DirecTV, which is the Internet satellite service, posted a $1 billion loss in the third quarter of 2004. That's kind of scary. They had to reposition satellites to provide television instead of high-speed Internet service because they're losing money and finding it's not working out as well as expected. That means that somebody's going to either have to provide a wireless service or a fiber service or something or other, because the satellite users are generally the people that can't get the DSL and the Comcast cable.
Yeah, what I've noticed is, like, I had 4 clients that literally are out in the sticks, so they had absolutely no access other than phone to Internet. They all went to satellite, but every one of them now have either a DSL or a cable connection available to them. So just because it's a drastic cost difference, they all switched off.
Well, we thank Michael for emailing this interesting information, because that's news that's coming in hot, and that's something that I hadn't heard about. And actually, my connection, I used to sell the satellite service direct, where I would sell the satellite dish, and the customer would contract with a contractor to put it up if they couldn't do it themselves. And I have an associate that sells the service for Hughes. He obtains the dishes. As a matter of fact, Hughes gives him the dishes, and then he goes out and installs them. And I would guess to say that probably 98% of what he does is directed by Hughes rather than the customer contacting him directly.
Right.
And I don't even know whether he's heard that news yet. I don't know how well he follows it, but
we'll
follow
now with baby crying.
Yes. Well, anyway, Chris, have you heard the news? You can call in and give us a comment. I know he's within the listening range of the radio, but I don't know whether he has his radio on. And maybe he'll learn to turn it on if he doesn't, so he can learn this type of news real quick. But anyway, we're talking to Rich Goldberg from BNet, who is our special guest tonight.
Hi, Rich.
Hello.
And we're glad that you could come and join us. And Rich, I know that you've done a lot of things for a lot of people. You provided a free web page to the Rotary Club, which is not just the Rotary Club, it's the whole district within the Philadelphia area. And for that, on behalf of Rotary Club, that was a great thing that you did. And I'm a Rotarian, and you're an honorary Rotarian because of it.
Well, if you remember, you got me involved in Rotary several years ago, early on in BNet's history, when I worked 24 hours a day instead of just the current 20 hours a day. And part of that time I devoted to, I tried to devote to community activities and other activities that would help me get myself more involved in the area, because I didn't grow up in this area. And I had a lot of fun with Rotary. And initially, as you remember, I was going to charge for the services. And as I got involved and learned what Rotary was all about, I realized that this is something I wanted to do for the not just the club, but for the district. And you were very active getting that website up and running. You had to beg other districts, other chapters, I'm sorry, to put up sites. They just didn't see a reason why they needed a site. Now they're all very involved.
Oh, they probably couldn't live without it now.
We rely on it. We count on it. We're talking to Rich Goldberg, who is the owner of BNet, a local Chester County company. And we're here on Computer Corner, 1420 WCOJ, and you still have time to call in on the telephone. You have time to send us a quick email. Maybe I can get Joe to check the email again just to see, since they know that we're actually checking the email.
I'll be back.
And just see if there's some last-minute comments that we can get in. I hope the telephone lines are working and they didn't get burned out last night with all the activity that was going on. Things were pretty hot and heavy with the station last night. We had full coverage of the election, both at Democratic and Republican headquarters, and we had staff here and at both headquarters reporting, and they had full coverage that our listeners knew everything that was going on. So Joe's coming back, and we must have people that have found something else to do tonight, but we're hoping that you're still listening. As a matter of fact, there was an email that I failed to comment on that was received earlier. As a matter of fact, this was received after the last show, and it comes from Chris. I'll leave the last names off. And he's the one that gave us the questions about the BPL that I made sure I covered tonight. And his comment was, and finally, thanks for starting up this show. There are a lot of geeks listening, and I hope you're listening tonight. And
which is bad. I wasn't listening. I'm sorry.
Lots of geeks listening.
I'm a nerd. But
and they're not calling in tonight, but maybe they got burned out with the all the political activity last night. Well, anyway, we do have a lot of interesting topics to talk about. We've been covering the internet tonight and all the ways to connect. And of course, your call didn't have to be specifically on the internet. If you wanted to just give us a general question, we'd love to hear from you as any kind of a comment. And we'll be able to give you an answer of some sort. And if we can't get an immediate answer, we will get the answer for you.
That's right.
We have a team here that can answer almost anything, I'm reasonably sure.
And most things correctly.
And by the way, I guess I should mention next week's topic, because next week's topic is a very good one, too. We're going to talk about voice over IP. That's something that's going to become, actually, it's starting right now to become very big. And we're going to talk about what it is and how it's used. And I see we have a little reaction from
Joe
here.
That's okay.
Rich. Not every name appropriate on the
air. Yeah, right. Anyhow,
that's my TV show.
I do have voice over IP, by the way. I've been using it for, I guess, very close to a year now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, can I hear you now?
No, it's worth it. Can you hear me now?
A delay.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Actually, that delay isn't as bad as you're making it out to be.
Oh, this coming from a guy who's spending money on a ham radio.
Listening to Static from Australia. Yes, we talk all over the world, and yes, the response is as quick as we hit the microphone button.
I can't even stand that the latest in my cell phone that most people don't notice, and it drives me nuts.
Well, anyway, we've had a good time tonight, and we've been talking about the various methods of connecting up to the internet through dial-up, DSL, Comcast, wireless, and Rich tells us that he hopes to have wireless up soon. Signals from Mars.
No, Morse code.
Mars code and
250
all that training stuff. But anyway, I'd like to thank personally Rich for coming in and taking the time out to give us the information.
Sure, actually, sir.
He gave me a call anytime. 1-888 for BNet. We'll be there.
If you if we can think of how to give us a slightly different topic on it, so we get a different twist, we'll do that. And we're fast approaching the time that we have allocated to us before CBS News comes up. And I'm really grateful for you coming in and joining us tonight.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Gene.
We have run out of time already tonight. I'm your host, Gene Mitchell, and you've been listening to Computer Corner here on 1420 WCOJ. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. And remember to check out our website at www.wcoj.com. And under Programming, look for Computer Corner, and you'll find information on upcoming programs. Our email address is computercorner@wcoj.com for any comments and your questions.